The following sermon was delivered by Associate Pastor Reverend Werner Ramirez in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Werner Ramirez.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, starting at verse 26. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full of grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe at once, he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "What can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? Like a mustard seed, which when sown up from the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them. And as they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. All right, let's be honest. How many of you just heard this passage and are thinking, "What the heck was that?" I get it. We're decent at understanding metaphors, analogies, and even allegories. But what in the world are these parables? If you're in this place, I have some good news for you. You are not alone. Parables are lovely and annoying all at the same time because they make you ask even more questions. So as I read the passage for today, there are two things that are clear to me. One, I notice that Jesus is continuously speaking in parables when talking about the kingdom of God. Number two, Jesus is a terrible farmer. So let's start with the parables. Why does Jesus speak in parables, and specifically about the kingdom of God? One of the things that I've learned about Jesus' parables is that they are sometimes meant to be confusing. They are intended for us to ask more questions than for us to know the answers. The more questions we bring to the storyteller, the more that we trust the storyteller. And it can be really easy for us to be stubborn and say, "I don't want to hear these stories." But what if we treated these parables more like a child and say, "You know what? I want to know more." Like a little child, we trust the storyteller with all our hearts. You know what I mean? A child can hear a story and they want to know why something is happening. Well, why this? Why that? And then the end of the story happens and they want to know what continues with the main character. They ask more questions. What if we were like that and continued to seek the mystery in these parables? Also, this vision of the kingdom of God is also very mysterious and countercultural to the very world of Jesus' time and our world today. In the first century, power and dominion belonged to Caesar. The idea of the kingdom and empire, similar to today, involves power, greed, and the mistreatment of the marginalized. So when Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God, Jesus speaks in contrast to the kingdom and empire of that time, but does it through parables. So why can't Jesus be clear and state a well-stated thesis and manifesto about what the kingdom of God is like? The closest that we have to that is on the Sermon on the Mount. But why throw these parables in to confuse us? I have to wonder if the kingdom of God is always adapting, progressing, and reforming to what the dominant culture of the time is moving towards. The kingdom of God is mysterious and not easily describable. So each parable that we hear adds a different lens to the kingdom of God. Each parable gives you an angle here, an angle there, and it might confuse you a little more, but perhaps it might shed some light. For instance, if I asked you, what is the color blue? What would you say? I don't know, it's just blue. I mean, the sky is blue. Wait, so are you saying that blue is the sky? No. I'm just saying that the sky is a shade of blue. Sometimes. But okay. But there's another, that shirt that gentleman's wearing, that's a shade of blue, but it's also like that over there. Every description that you will give gives another angle to what is blue. But you're never going to get a true blueprint, pun intended, to what is blue. Similarly, I think that is what a parable does. It gives us an angle to the mystery that is the kingdom of God. Now, I recently read a memoir / interesting theological book by comedian Pete Holmes. And in it, he talks about God and spirituality. And bear with me on this. He says, I think it's all myth. But he actually hates it when people describe it as myth to downplay it. He says, I've been told that God works in mysterious ways. Now I saw that mystery works in godly ways. You know, spontaneously creating itself and all, and a metaphor was as close as we can get to understanding that. Myth is transrational. It's not irrational. It's beyond rationality. It's not blueprints to building a bridge. It's crying at a song that doesn't have any words. We're like dogs trying to understand the internet, and the best way we can touch the unfathomable mystery is with a myth. I think he's onto something. Perhaps parables are transrational as well. It's not irrational, but it's beyond rationality. Which brings me back to one of my points. Jesus is a terrible farmer. Prior to the passage we just read, Jesus describes the kingdom of God as a farmer who's scattering seeds all willy-nilly, throws it on good soil, rocky soil, and even on some thorns. A good farmer would not do that. A good farmer places seeds in very precise places. But yet, Jesus says that is what the kingdom of God is like. And in the passage that we just read today, it starts off with a farmer who scattered seeds on the ground and then goes to sleep and just chills. The earth does its thing, sprouts, it comes forward. The farmer doesn't know what's happening. And then when they wake up, they say, sweet, I have a cool harvest. What angle of the kingdom of God, what shade of blue is Jesus trying to do with this short parable? Honestly, it's kind of a boring parable. The Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke steal a lot from the Gospel of Mark, but this parable is only in the Gospel of Mark. I wonder if Luke and Matthew saw this one and said, you know what? I'm not going to copy this one. But I have to wonder if part of it is simply stating that the kingdom of God is full of mystery. And for a people group like us, that we often like to fix things on our own, I wonder if we have to allow for God to do God things and for us to be in awe of it. When I was in college, I worked at a summer camp that was run completely on houseboats and ski boats. No cabins, all on the water and on houseboats. Now, parking the houseboat was tough because we were on the Sacramento Delta and we had to account for wind, current, and the tide. Now, if the tide was low, it was actually pretty easy. You anchor, you tie up to the front, and as the tide goes up, you tighten up the ropes. Not too tough. But if the tide was high, you had to constantly look at the tide, and as it was going down, you had to loosen the ropes a little bit, because if not, you were going to get stuck on the land. Now, one week I had a boat of 15 junior high boys, full of energy. We had a night where we played so much Mafia and so many games, and I forgot to check the ropes. So then when I woke up, the front part of the houseboat was stuck on the land, and we had to go to another part of the river that day. So I turn on the boat, I hit reverse as hard as I can, vroom, vroom. Nothing. Like, we were stuck. So I'm trying to think of ways we can get unstuck. I told all the junior high boys to get off the boat to the land because we were stuck. And maybe with the weight coming up, maybe that would help. I hit reverse, nothing. We were stuck. So one of the boys said, what if we, all of us, push the front of the boat while you hit reverse? And I said, you know what? That is not a bad idea. So they're pushing, I'm hitting reverse, nothing. Like you know how you push up against a wall and you're essentially just doing push-ups? That's what they were doing. Like, this boat was not going anywhere. And then one of them says, what if we prayed? And all the other boys are like, yeah, let's pray. And I'm like, that's a good idea. But we're not going anywhere. And then that kid says this prayer. God, it's clear we cannot move this boat. But we know that you can. So can you please help us? Beautiful prayer. But we were still going to be stuck. I was already planning my conversation with him about what it feels like when God doesn't answer prayer. And then these boys push and push, and I'm hitting reverse, vroom, vroom. And I don't know how, but that flipping boat got unstuck. Like, to this day, I still have no idea how that happened. Like, we were on the land. I'm not sure if a miracle happened or not, but all I knew was that I was just in awe of their faith, in awe of the moment. I see this parable and it reminds me that sometimes God does weird God things and we just have to be in awe of the mystery. It's like what Pete Holmes calls something that's transrational. It's beyond rationality. But this is not the only parable that we read today. Next comes the parable of the mustard seed. And this is one that you might remember from Sunday school. So again, Jesus says, what can we compare the kingdom of God to? Notice Jesus doesn't say the kingdom of God is exactly like this. Jesus says, what can we compare it to? What shade of blue is the kingdom of God here? And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that's planted to the ground. It's the smallest seed. But when it grows into the greatest shrub, making large branches, and the birds of the air can make their nest in the shade. So you hear the short parable and you think, okay, I get it. Things grow and blossom similar to faith. If we plant the right seed, something will grow, and it's great. But if you really look at this parable, you'll see that Jesus is a terrible farmer. So let's start with the mustard seed. Mustard and the shrub that grows from it is a weed in the Middle East. Why on earth would you plant a weed? Why would you purposely plant something that everybody else is trying to pluck out of the ground? Why would you want this weed to grow into a huge shrub with branches and then invite the birds of the air to come chill in its shade? The birds are going to start eating anything that's healthy around it. There's a reason scarecrows exist, because farmers don't want birds in their fields. Yet Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This parable is more than just about having faith like a mustard seed. This parable also tells us that the kingdom of God values the opposite of what the kingdom of the empire values. The kingdom of God asks us to do weird and unfathomable things rather than what the culture expects of us. I wonder if in our culture today, if caring for the poor, bringing hospitality to the stranger, is as wild of a concept as planting a weed in the ground. I wonder if treating one another with love and living into grace is as audacious as growing into a shrub that invites the birds to come in. So why love, why grace, why care for the poor and advocate for the marginalized in a world and empire that is hungry for power and greed? Because I think that's what the kingdom of God is like. There's an Instagram account that I follow from a content creator named Juxi. His real name is Jesus Morales. The first time I saw him on social media, he was known as the free taco guy. The algorithm knows me well. In California, there are often makeshift taco stands in places like Los Angeles and San Diego, and Juxi would go up to the taco stand and say, "Hey, let's give away free tacos for an hour. I will pay for every single taco." So he has a sign that says free tacos, a line starts to form, and by the end of the hour, Juxi usually pays for $1,000 worth of tacos and then tips the staff another $500 or $1,000. They are amazed by his generosity. And then there's the woman who is selling flowers on the side of the freeway. It's early in the morning. He goes up to her and says, "How much would it be for all your flowers?" She gives him a number, and then they start giving flowers away to drivers as they're coming through, giving them a smile, say, "Hey, you want a free bouquet of flowers?" He pays her for the flowers, then tips her $500 and says, "You're done for the day. Go home and rest." His movement has grown, and he's been picking up sponsorships. And now he goes up to day laborers in places like Home Depot and Lowe's. He rolls up with his truck and says, "I need three of you." Three go into his truck, and they say, "What's the job for today?" He says, "Disneyland." The guy in the back says, "Oh, I did a job there. What are we doing?" And he goes, "Vamos a disfrutar. We're going to enjoy." They look puzzled, and he reassures them that he will pay them for the day. And the next thing is you see them with Mickey Mouse ears, spinning in teacups, screaming with joy on roller coasters, and having the time of their life. And as he promised, at the end of the day, he pays them more than a full day's wage. At each interaction, the people are puzzled and confused to why such random grace can happen. It's confusing because it goes against the empire and the expectation of who deserves what. But friends, I believe that is what the kingdom of God is like. In a profile about Jesus Morales, Natalia Molina, a distinguished professor of American Studies and Ethnicity at USC, says, "There is a reason the videos Morales shares are resonating so widely, especially if you come from an immigrant background. If you're a Latino or an immigrant, it's validating," she says. "He puts a spotlight on them and treats them with respect, and you're reminded of something that we shouldn't need to be reminded of, that these are human beings who live whole lives. It's common to hear politicians talk about desperate migrants at the border, but it's rare to see positive portrayals of immigrants, and even rarer for them to be depicted experiencing joy. But in Morales' Disneyland videos, happiness is a common theme that resonates with viewers and catches them by surprise. Friends, why give free tacos and give a small business their best night of business in years? Because that's a different shade of blue. That is what the kingdom of God is like. Why give away flowers for free and have a street vendor go home and rest? Because that is what the kingdom of God is like. Why take day laborers to Disneyland to disfrutar, to enjoy? Because that is what the kingdom of God is like. Why plant a weed? Why love? Why care for the poor? Why show grace in a world that only wants to hurt? Because that's a different shade of blue. Because that is what the kingdom of God is like, and the kingdom of God is here. Friends, the kingdom of the empire will tell you that your worth is based on your tax bracket, that grade on that test, how your body feels. But friends, those are lies. Hear this different shade of blue, because in the kingdom of God, you are loved and you are enough. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.